Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books. My guest is the Pulitzer Prize-winning author Gordon Wood, whose book Friends Divided, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, is now available in paperback wherever your fine books are sold. This book examines the relationship between these two early Americans. Gordon, Adams and Jefferson probably would not have been friends as preteens or teenagers, given their different backgrounds, but politics drew them together. What was it about their personalities and the colonies they represented that born this friendship?
Well, they were born in two different societies. Jefferson's born in a slaveholding society, and he's a wealthy slaveholder. His father left him much land and slaves, and his father-in-law left him even more slaves and more land, so he became one of the wealthiest members of the Virginia aristocracy. Adams, coming from Massachusetts, was middling born, had no real connections anywhere outside of his little town of Braintree, and whatever wealth he acquired, and was substantial, but not as, he was never one of the wealthiest members of Massachusetts society, was earned from his law practice. He was a very, very successful lawyer, probably the most successful lawyer in the colony of Massachusetts on the eve of the Revolution. So they came from very, very different backgrounds, and of course, in the end, differed in almost every single aspect of life, except for the support for the Revolution. The other thing they had in common, of course, was that both of them hated Alexander Hamilton.
Now, the political theory that these two men eventually espoused seemed to run counterintuitive to their roots. With Adams from what we call blue collar today, he seemed to give into the notion that of just basically saying there is an inequality among people and you can't do a whole lot about it. Jefferson, with the Southern aristocracy, nonetheless, he projected this whole idea of hope. So how do you reconcile their backgrounds with the eventual political theory?
Well, that is always a paradox. I mean, I guess you'd say Jefferson was the first limousine liberal. In fact, the South in general, through this period, was the source of the Jeffersonian Republican Party, which was the party of equality, it became the beginnings of the what is now the Democratic Party. It was the party of the people and so on, whereas the Adams is a Federalist, and Federalism believes in hierarchy and was frightened of democracy. Now, it's understandable because Massachusetts was a much more egalitarian society and state, and therefore democracy was always problematic. You could lose elections. Jefferson never lost an election in his life. He had no fears whatsoever of the people, and therefore he could easily support popular government, whereas Adams and other Federalists were suspicious of popular government because they saw how dangerous it could be. So that is, I think, the best short answer to your question and to the paradox that the two men represent.
Something I learned from reading the book, among the many other things, was that America's first two-party system, the Jeffersonian Republicans and the Adams Federalists, it arose out of the fall of the Bastille. And so what was the significance of that occurrence as it relates to American politics?
Well, the French Revolution divided the country, and those who supported it felt that this was a consequence. The French Revolution was a consequence of the American Revolution. That's why Lafayette sent the key to the Bastille, which was the symbol of the Ancien Régime, that fortress in Paris, the prison, sent the key to the Bastille to Washington. And, of course, today it hangs in Mount Vernon. There was that sense that our revolution was the beginning of something that was going to spread throughout the world. Now, the Federalists and John Adams were frightened of the French Revolution, felt that this had gone wild, and especially as it began killing its own people. Thousands of aristocrats were guillotined in the 1790s. Jefferson was rather sanguine about that. In fact, when he was told by his successor in Paris, your friends are being guillotined, he says, well, this is what revolutions are. It takes a few. He says, if only an Adam and Eve were left alive and left free, it would be worth it. Well, that's a quite extraordinary statement. I think that led Conor Cruise O'Brien, the Irish historian and journalist, to call Jefferson the pot Paul of the of the 18th century. Pot Pol, of course, being the Cambodian leader who killed millions of his people on behalf of the communist cause. So Jefferson's a real true believer, and whether he would have acted in that way is another thing, but he certainly spoke in a very radical fashion about the French Revolution, and Adams was appalled by the French Revolution.
I'm chatting with Gordon Wood about his book, Friends Divided, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, available in paperback. Gordon, when you set about to write a book like this, what's your research table look like? Do you have boxes and boxes of documents? Are you looking at PDFs of them? How do you go about organizing all this research into a coherent manuscript?
Well, I'm old-fashioned. I have boxes of cards, 5x8 cards in most cases, where I have things organized by subject and so on. But, of course, I've been working on the Revolution for, a half a century, so I've got a lot of background to be able to, a lot of capital to draw on. But I'm an old-fashioned researcher.
The thing also I found interesting is these letters that Adams and Jefferson exchanged later in their life, and that's such an insight into how each of them thought. But as you read through those, can you reconcile what they said in those letters with their behavior during the Revolution and their relationship with each other during their different roles in government?
Yes, I think you can. I mean, they debated subjects like aristocracy, and they remain consistent. Jefferson said, I fear the one, meaning the monarchy, and Adams says, well, I just fear the few, the aristocrats. Adams was obsessed with inequality, and he said, we're never going to avoid it. Our society is always going to be unequal, and it's inevitable, and we need to protect ourselves against the few. So they exchanged a lot of ideas back and forth. They stayed away from the sensitive subjects like slavery. They mention it in 1819, 1820 with the Missouri Compromise, but Adams realizes that this is such a sensitive subject that he better not razz Jefferson. He tended to razz him about a lot of things, and Jefferson took that teasing in good humor. Adams was constantly saying to him, well, in 1815 when the Napoleon was defeated, the Bourbons are back on the throne of France, and so Adams would say to Jefferson, so what do you think of the French Revolution now, Mr. Jefferson? And of course Jefferson had nothing much to say because the whole thing seemed like it had failed completely. He put up with a lot from Adams. Adams had that sarcastic, teasing, razzing manner about him, and Jefferson was very polite and took it. They valued their correspondence too much to endanger it.
They both died on the same day, July 4th, 1826, the 50-year anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, one of the strangest coincidences in American history. Do you think each of them died happy?
I think, ironically, Adams was happier than Jefferson at the end. Jefferson could see the problems of slavery, and he realized that the South was in a terrible situation, and he didn't know what to do about it. And he was deeply in debt, and he was told by his son-in-law that he was going to lose Monticello if he didn't get his finances in order. So he was depressed at the end. Adams, on the other hand, despite the loss of Abigail a few years earlier, I think was happier than he had ever been in his entire life. He had all of his grandchildren around him, and he seemed to be reconciled to his fate. He was no longer, he knew that he would never be celebrated the way Jefferson was, and he was quite red about that. Jefferson was an international superstar, and Adams was not. He asked Jefferson, how many letters did you get last year? And this was 1820, and Jefferson said, well, I received 1,200 letters, and Adams was appalled. He'd received only 120. So Jefferson was a very different kind of person, internationally as well as nationally, and it's understandable that Jefferson is celebrated in a way that we don't celebrate John Adams.
All right, we just scratched the surface of the book. It's Friends Divided, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson by Gordon Wood. It's available in paperback wherever your books are sold. Gordon, fantastic offering here to teach us about the American history, and thanks for joining us today to talk about it.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.